Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. It is time for Secrets. We are up to volume number 347. Always my favorite program of the month. I say that all the time, but I want to dive right into this one. Because when you hear the word abortion, all the loony left and everybody that's in favor of killing these little babies call it women's health. Women's health. Now they want to be able to sell abortion drugs through the mail. Don't even have to go see a doctor. You just get these pills. And I know a bunch of people, after Trump was elected, got loads of these prescriptions for this drug, that morning after pill, whatever they call it. It's mifepristone. And they say it's for women's health, women's reproductive health. And they're able to take this pill and abort the fetus, and, well, it's not a human being because it hasn't been born. That's what the loony left will tell you. But there's an article in Breitbart.com published on September 3rd. There is an Illinois man that is being charged with murder. I need to tell you about this. The Bloomington Police Department said that first responders were dispatched to a home of a pregnant woman on the 22nd of August. She was suffering a miscarriage. She lost her baby. During the investigation, they found out that the father of this child, Emerson Evans, allegedly drugged the woman with mifepristone. He was arrested. He was taken to the McLean County Detention Facility, charged with two counts of intentional homicide of an unborn child. Do you think they have set a precedent with this arrest and arraignment and charges? The girlfriend was 7 weeks pregnant. Was it murder on his part? Most assuredly. But the murder of an unborn child is murder to whomever does it. In Matthew 18, verse 6, it says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Jesus' words. So everybody that wants to kill a baby, if you don't repent, it would be better for you to have a millstone about your neck and tossed into the sea. This man is facing 20 years in prison for murdering an unborn child. Now, don't you find it convenient that the loony left, if they mention this story at all, will not call it an unborn child because they have to maintain the narrative that it's okay to kill these children? 20 years in prison for killing a child that wasn't born. What do we do with the doctors that have performed countless abortions, continue today? Do we charge Planned Parenthood with genocide? I think it needs to happen. If murdering an unborn child, as it says in the Breitbart article, with this drug, if that's murder, then everything Planned Parenthood has done everything that Big Pharma has done by putting out this abortion pill is a genocide. And they should face trial and potential incarceration for the murder of millions of unborn children. Speaking of murder, let's go to Chicago. You know, there was a big brouhaha when Trump federalized the D.C. Metropolitan Police, and I'll cover that in a minute. But he threatened Chicago, Illinois, Governor Pritzker, Mayor Johnson. They don't want Trump to come in. Personally, I don't think that we should be utilizing our military against American citizens in the first place. But considering that over 50 people were shot in Chicago over the Labor Day weekend, at least 7 died. At one point, there were 32 separate shootings between Friday evening and noon on Labor Day Monday in Chicago. I saw, I don't know if it was a YouTube or TikTok or whatever, but this young black lady was talking about the crime that's going on in Chicago. And so I got curious. And I went to heyjackass.com. It illustrates what's going on in Chicago. And she mentioned that the white liberal women that were up in arms about Donald Trump potentially sending federal agents to augment the Chicago Police Department, taking over the Chicago Police Department, federalizing it, sending in the National Guard. Johnson and Pritzker had a conniption, said we have no crime. According to this young lady, they were lying through their eye teeth. She said, come to the west side and the south side of Chicago. So I pull up, hey jackass, I'm looking at the map. She's right. In the predominantly well-to-do neighborhoods, there might be one homicide in that borough or in that section of Chicago. But on the west side, on the south side, multiple murders. I'm sure that a lot of that is gang violence. How do you get rid of the problem, Mayor Johnson? It's not by throwing good money into social services to have de-escalation. Oh, and Pritzker said he's okay if the ATF comes in and they start taking guns. How are you going to do that? You're not going to walk up to a gangbanger's hideout and go, hey, give me all your guns. That doesn't work that way. Sorry, Gov. You're an idiot if you think so. So how do you solve the problem? Well, you don't defund the police like Chicago and Illinois has done. You don't overtax the citizens and spend that tax money on garbage programs that are aimed at deterring aggression. You have a caseworker go to a shooting and find out what they can do to make things better. No, you round up the gangs, you throw them in prison. You send them to El Salvador. You send them to Uganda. That's what they want to do with these illegals. Well, why not send the gangbangers that want to destroy a town to one of those prisons? El Salvador looked great if you want to incarcerate individuals. But in 2024, Chicago had 573 murders. Compared to Chicago, New York City only had 377. LA only had 268. Now, when you factor in per capita, Detroit had more, DC had more, Atlanta had more per capita. But 573 murders on your watch, Mayor Johnson, is not a good look. Comparably, in Washington, D.C., since Trump federalized the Metropolitan Police Department, violent crime has fallen 45%. Carjackings are down 87%. This compared to the same time period in 2024. But Pritzker wants to get guns off of the streets. They had a buyback program. Yeah. A young woman by the name of Tawanda Willingham is suing the city of Chicago after she got shot by a pistol that had been relinquished to the Chicago police at a gun turn-in event. It was a Glock 21. The gun allegedly disappeared while in transit between the buyback event and the police station, just a block or two away. Now, the NRA got on Twitter, and they noted that in this lawsuit, there were details provided on the movement of the gun. The NRA wrote, quote, "The firearm was transferred to the tactical team office following the turn-in event. The Glock disappeared in a room full of police officers. It was discovered that a tag identifying the Glock had been hidden on a different firearm. The tag should have accompanied the Glock was later found in the trash can. Evidence of a purposeful theft and cover-up to make it more difficult to track the firearm in its recovery. The officer listed on those inventory records was later shot and killed by a fellow tactical team officer in what the police department labeled a friendly fire accident. This Glock 21 was found in the possession of a 16-year-old boy." You can't even trust the Chicago cops? Is that what this lawsuit is saying? Criminals are going to criminal. Thugs are going to thug. And criminals are going to infiltrate everywhere they can. And obviously, it happened in Chicago PD. But I've got some interesting statistics for you from Chicago. In 2025, this is from heyjackass.com. You can go there and you can find all kinds of information about Chicago. In 2025, the victim has been black 224 times, while the assailant has been black 43 of those times. That is almost 77% black-on-black crime. There were 53 Hispanic victims and only 9 Hispanic assailants. There were 15 white victims and only 1 white assailant. The cause of death, 244 homicides, was gunshots. 23 times they were stabbed to death. Johnson needs to get off his duff. The city council needs to listen to the aldermen that have common sense. You need to weed out the bad apples in the police department. You need to strengthen the police department. You need to get rid of the crummy DAs that George Soros keeps buying, that refuse to prosecute crime, get rid of the gangbangers, and clean it up. This may not be a popular opinion, but people don't live in Section 8 housing, government housing, because they want to. They live there because they can't afford anywhere else. And the crime is predominantly in those areas. The poor, honest, hardworking people that have to live in those areas need police protection from the good police. Goodness, it's not rocket science. Get rid of the gangbangers. Quit paying people to have multiple babies. Get them out of the government plantation. I'm all for a hand up, but these handouts, all they do is put people on the government plantation. And I don't care what color your skin is. If you acquiesce to the government plantation, you are enslaved by the federal government. Now, you will hear all the loony left talk about the crime statistics are going down, especially in D.C. after Trump did what he did. But are you aware of a number of lawsuits involving police officer whistleblowers and the higher-ups in the police department adjusting numbers to make it look like crime is going down? They are misclassifying apparent homicides to deflate the homicide numbers. According to Metropolitan Police Department Sergeant Carlos Bundy, who has served in the department for 28 years and was in the police department's homicide unit from 2010 to 2018, he said the Metropolitan Police Department was, quote, purposely misled the public about the homicide rates in the District of Columbia by misclassifying unnatural deaths by labeling them as accidents, close quote. He claimed his supervisors retaliated against him after he raised concerns about this practice. They denied him days off, they lowered his evaluation scores, and there was other punishment. But his allegations aren't the only ones. There are similar accounts from other officers who said department leaders misclassified theft and aggravated assault cases in order to depress the district's crime rates. Washington, D.C. recently settled another whistleblower retaliation lawsuit that was brought by former Sergeant Charlotte Dussou. D-J-O-S-S-O-U. She accused MPD brass of attempting to distort crime statistics by downgrading a number of felonies to misdemeanors so that there will be fewer felonies in the statistics. This is according to the Washington Free Beacon. But Hillary Clinton, Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, they objected to Trump's emergency mandate, federalizing the police department and bringing in the National Guard. They, like other controlled media outlets like the New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, have all cited the statistics that have been doctored. They claim the council and the mayor have handled the crime, all Democrats. But Officer Bundy cited multiple examples in which MPD officials allegedly classified deaths as undetermined or accidental, despite having autopsy reports or physical evidence that identified the manner of death as homicide. One could be an anomaly. Two is a pattern. Three is proof that they're doctoring the numbers. And you will hear people cite the statistics from the FBI. The FBI doesn't gather this information whole cloth. They wait for police departments to submit the data. If they're doctoring the data, it skews the crime stats that the FBI puts out. And I've said this before, you can pencil whip a problem any which way you want to have the results come out the way you want them. That's what these police departments are doing. We have to show that crime is down. We have to show that crime is down. Well, let's classify this homicide as accidental death. What about the victim? What about the family of the victim? Are they even investigating these? No. Not if they're a misdemeanor. They don't have the manpower. That's what they'll tell you. You know, I've always said that people that get inside the beltway around Washington, D.C. lose 100 IQ points as soon as they get inside the beltway. Well, it's expanding further out. I've talked about Loudoun County and their public school system in the past. It's reached there. You remember that was the school where a transgender youth, a boy, claiming to be a girl, raped a girl in a bathroom. And they shuffled him to another school, and he did the same exact thing. And they tried to protect the tranny and hide and cover up these sexual assaults. But it came out. Well, now, this same school system has suspended two boys, high school boys, after they said they were uncomfortable that a female student claiming to be a male was in the boys' locker room filming them. There were three students involved in this. Two were suspended. I'll tell you about the third here in a minute. The female student, who claims to be a male, used the boys' locker room several times, filming to get the reaction of male students. Does this sound familiar? It sounds like the homos going to the cake baker shop and asking them to do a same-sex wedding cake and the owner of the bakery refusing, and they get sued. Photographers, same thing. Event venues, same thing. That's what's happened here. The boys faced discipline for sexual harassment and sex-based discrimination because of their complaints. This is according to Loudoun County Public Schools. They will be forced to meet with school administrators to create a corrective action plan, be suspended for 10 days, and have a no-contact order with the girl. So they can't even be in the same classroom. According to this report in the Daily Caller, one of the boys left the state with his family. Good for them. Get out of Dodge. The looniness isn't going to end anytime soon in Loudoun County. They still have the policy that allows students to use the facilities based on their gender identity, not their biological gender, their identity. But what happened to the third boy? Nothing. Do you know why? Because he's a Muslim. They did not want to open that can of worms. Oh, he's a Muslim boy? Well, we're not going to punish him. Muslims kill homos. It is against their religion. It's also against Christianity. Goes against everything in the Bible. Supporting the Mos. But this ideology of transgenderism is a plague that has infiltrated this country. All right, moving on to this one. There is a Canadian electric bus manufacturer called Lion Electric. At one point, they were valued at $4.7 billion. This was back in June of 2021. $4.7 billion valuation. They received $159 million from the U.S. government to produce 435 Big Yellow Dog school buses between 2022 and 2024. Just like Obama throwing all that money at Solyndra, the solar panel company, Lion Electric has gone bankrupt. There are hundreds of undeliverable buses, a fleet of electric vehicles that can't be serviced because of the company's insolvency. And this is forcing many school districts to revert back to diesel-powered buses. Lion Electric failed to deliver $95 million worth of electric buses it had committed to under Biden's Clean School Bus Program, part of his Green New Deal. Mike Leskowich, superintendent of the Homer Community School District in southern Michigan, said, quote, "We're going to keep our electric fleet on the roads as long as possible. Eventually, however, we will return to diesel as the cost of the vehicle is far less than electric." Go figure. An electric bus was costing $350,000. A diesel-powered bus typically costs around $100,000. But then you have to factor in the infrastructure, the charging stations, and the mechanics have to be trained on how to service these buses. But there is a Midwest school district superintendent not named in this article in Blabber Buzz. He said the district's buses had numerous mechanical problems, including the inability to heat up in cold weather, loss of steering and braking ability, defective frames, and frequent error messages that required drivers to reset the vehicle. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have a bus in the upper part of this country during winter that won't heat up, that's not a good thing. You want your students to arrive as popsicles? Goodness gracious. Well, let's get something warmer. How about the heat index? Yes, every summer you'll hear your local meteorologist trumpet this heat index. It's an important number. It grabs your attention. But this figure is a calculated estimate. The heat index formula was developed by the U.S. National Weather Service based on Robert G. Stedman's 1979 paper, quote, "The Assessment of Sultriness," close quote. Before that, before 1979, this number didn't even exist. There was a TV station in Tampa, WFLA. They announced an all-time record heat index, declaring, quote, "This is the highest heat index ever recorded," close quote. But it's a made-up number. It's not even a measurement. It's fake news. Now, you and I can say the feels like temperature. Okay. And you should use that knowing your humidity level is going to affect how comfortable you are working outside and dress accordingly. But if you watch your local news, they trumpet this to try to push global warming on everybody. Oh, the heat index today is going to be 110 degrees. That's part of global warming. Oh, no. No. It's an uncomfortable temperature, to be sure. But if you already know it's going to be 100 degrees outside, you dress according to that. But on top of that, elderly people experience heat differently than teenagers. Someone who has cardiac issues can overheat faster than an athlete. The local news people, meteorologists, weather people, whatever you want to call it, need to quit masquerading that this is a temperature. It's not factual. It's a calculation. This is an estimated measurement. It is not actually 10 degrees hotter because of the heat index. 98 is still 98. It's uncomfortable to be sure. As a football official, I can tell you, it is uncomfortable being on the football field at 5 o'clock when it's 103 degrees and it's even hotter on turf. I've been at a game, we kicked at 7 o'clock. It was the day Austin hit 111, 112 degrees. That was the actual temperature. They measured the heat on the turf with one of those temperature guns. At 7 o'clock, it was 139 degrees on the turf. I can vouch for it. It was hot. Heat is heat. Everybody reacts differently to it. And if you work outside, your body is more acclimated to that temperature. If you sit in an office that's got a controlled environment, the heat is going to be insufferable. But I don't need a doctored number to tell me that 98 is going to be a hot day. And quit pushing the climate change garbage by inflating these feels like temperatures and promoting them as what it actually is. No, it's false news. It's a fake number. It's a make-believe number. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for giving me some of your time. I have to take a brief pause. But when I come back, I'm going to dive right back into secrets. We are doing volume number 347. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding DVD documentary by Joel Gilbert. It's entitled The Climate According to A.I. Al Gore. In his film, An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore proclaimed a climate emergency. He became the godfather of today's worldwide climate change movement. Director Joel Gilbert, through his investigation, finds that the real origin of Al Gore's climate apocalypse came from his time at Vanderbilt Divinity School. Gilbert also demonstrates that Gore plagiarized a radical environmental book from the 1940s to produce his 1992 manifesto, Earth in the Balance. In The Climate According to AI Al Gore, Gilbert confronts an AI-generated Al Gore about his entire life history, his struggle to fulfill the political ambitions laid out for him by his parents, and his exploitation of climate politics to offset his personal insecurity. This film exposes the climate scare as nothing more than a political tool used by groups who wish to undermine free market capitalism and impose big government socialist ideals upon unsuspecting voters. It's 110 minutes, and it's only $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26 for The Climate According to AI Al Gore. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. Now, if you want to order this at our secure shopping cart, just go to powerofprophecy.com. You can use your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. We are covering secrets today. And before the break, I was talking about being a football official, how hot it is. But it's also getting crazier. And it's not the kids on the field. It's the parents. And it's even worse at the youth sports level. I can't tell you how many times I flagged parents, kicked them out of the stadium because they were profane. Yes, cussing in front of their children, acting like complete idiots. There were parents who wanted to be a coach. So they were the head coach and they acted like every Saturday was the Super Bowl. They acted like a scholarship depended on how a 10, 11, 12-year-old reacted on a Pop Warner football field. But more and more, the parents are getting out of control. This was in Los Angeles, California. There's a video on Twitter of parents duking it out while their children just stood around like, what the heck is going on? The parents came out of the stands. Coaches were fighting. Parents were fighting. This was 11-year-old kids. This is the example that the parents are setting. Now, I don't know the name of the person who filmed this and provided feedback, but he claimed that the officials didn't handle things between parents when these fights broke out, and it eventually involved over 20 parents and coaches. I can tell you I'm not shocked, but I can tell you personally, I would have taken my team. Because on the football field, there are three teams, the home team, the visiting team, and my team, the officials. We would have either kicked the parents completely out of the area, not just a stadium. No, they have to get in their car and they have to leave. Done it before. This is one reason why I don't officiate youth sports anymore. The kids are great. The kids are fantastic. It's the parents, the idiots in the stands. But we would have walked off the field or we would have booted everybody out of the stands. You cannot allow that kind of mentality into the stadium. So was it on the officials for not handling it? Probably so. You might get paid $50 to work one of those youth football games for 2 hours. We don't make a lot of money, but it's not worth it. Take your team and get off the field and let them figure out how they're going to have a football game without you. I mean, I had a parent scream at me one time that if I didn't throw a flag, somebody was going to get hurt. In my 34 years of officiating, I have never seen a flag prevent an injury. But they think these kids are getting a scholarship at 11 years old. That's how demented and distorted a lot of these parents are these days. Well, let's move on to something came across in Twitchy, written by Amy Curtis. She's talking about the purge of people at the CDC. Looks like RFK Jr. is cleaning house from the fruits and the nuts. One of these nuts is Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, homosexual. And he was the rave with the loony left. I saw people standing outside the CDC after his resignation letter. It was more of a tome than it was a letter. Shaking his hand, congratulating for standing up, fighting for what he believed. They cheered this guy. This guy who says you have to use pronouns that people want you to use. You have to call people pregnant people. This is the people that we're supposed to trust with our health. These are activists. These are bureaucrats that are putting their ideology above public health. And Scott Jennings, bless his heart, he actually got on CNN and called a spade a spade. And he said that we need to end the practice of letting these unelected bureaucrats make policy decisions, and it needs to be a house cleaning. Listen to Scott.
As it relates specifically to the COVID vaccine, which has been a flashpoint lately, you know, I do think there are legitimate questions about whether it should have been mandated, and they took away the emergency designation. I think only 23% of American adults said they got it last year. Only 13% of children were given it. So the American people had started to make a decision about that. A lot of Americans have questions about all of this because of what happened during COVID with some of these officials that we're hearing from now. They didn't cover themselves in glory in what they told the American people about the safety and efficacy of that particular vaccine. So the reason we're here is not because of Kennedy. The reason we're here is because the public health regime deserves to be turned inside out after COVID. I do think it's not inappropriate for the government to have on a rolling basis investigations of what we're doing, because sometimes we find out that what we're doing or what we told the American people turned out not to be true. So rolling investigations of vaccines and the advice we give the American people on this, on food, which is another big, you know, part of his agenda, he has a lot of popular support for that, truthfully.
Clean house, RFK. He is our Health and Human Services Secretary. He testified before Congress in June that kids get between 69 to 92 jabs by the time they're 18 years old. Tony Lyons, the president of the Make America Healthy Action, said, quote, vaccines have never been properly tested, either individually, in groupings, or as the full schedule, so no one can honestly say that they are not linked to the chronic disease epidemic, close quote. There are two doctors, Dr. Paul Thomas and Dr. Kenneth Stoller, who have filed a lawsuit against the CDC. They challenged the agency's recommended childhood immunization schedule. Both of these doctors have had their medical license suspended and revoked because they have stood up against this vaccination regime. In their complaint, they note, quote, America administers more vaccines than any nation on earth while producing the sickest children in the developed world. Yet the CDC demands proof of harm while refusing to conduct the studies that could provide it, close quote. In their lawsuit, these doctors accused the CDC of violating the Administrative Procedure Act by issuing de facto binding national mandates, violating the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause by compelling medical intervention without scientific basis, while punishing those who seek evidence of safety, violating the Fifth Amendment's Equal Protection Clause by allegedly denying the medical vulnerability of certain children, violating the First Amendment By suppressing through its contraindication framework, medical and scientific dissent through coordinated professional retaliation. The lawsuit also says, quote, medical boards revoke licenses for deviation. Schools exclude children. Insurance coverage depends on compliance. Close quote. It's a racket. And I have an audio clip with Dr. Eric Berg, and he reveals there has never been true placebo control testing of vaccines. He explains that when you're told they are safe and effective, they're essentially saying whiskey is safe compared to bourbon. Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins of the NIH, even admitted to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Dell Bigtree, quote, "We don't do true placebo trials on vaccines," close quote. Listen to this clip from Dr. Eric Berg.
Normally, when you study a drug, you compare it with a placebo. So that way you can truly test the side effects on something. But that is not how they test children's vaccines. What they'll do is they'll test an active vaccine with another active vaccine. So this so-called placebo control is not really a true placebo control because it's not inert. It's an active vaccine with something called an adjuvant. This is something they add to vaccines to create more of an immune reaction. And the big one that they've been using for a long time is aluminum. Think about this for a second. If I were to test the safety studies on whiskey, of course, I'd want to test that against water, right? But what if I tested whiskey against bourbon and I looked at the side effect of each, okay? So whiskey will create fatty liver, creates inflammation of liver, cirrhosis, all sorts of other problems like dementia, et cetera, et cetera. So if I were to tell you, well, the bourbon had roughly about the same side effects as the whiskey, so it's not any worse, that would be considered safe. Yeah, that's how they test these vaccines in children.
Now, I have sung the praises of Dr. Joseph Ladapo, the Florida Surgeon General. He made an announcement today, and it was all over Twitter. And those who are against Big Pharma and the control that they've had over the lives of our children, putting all these poisons into our children's bodies, well, they're going to do something about it in Florida. Listen to Dr. Ladapo.
What I'm most excited about is an announcement that we're going to make, that we're making now, which is that the Florida Department of Health, in partnership with the governor, is going to be working to end all vaccine mandates in Florida law. All of them. All of them.
All of them. He has thrown down the gauntlet to Big Pharma. We are through poisoning our children. Now, looking at data, because I don't remember, I was a kid, what did we get? 4-5 shots before we started school? We didn't get a lot. We didn't get 62 to 96, whatever that number was that Kennedy referenced. We didn't get that many. One of them is hepatitis. You know, children don't get hepatitis because they're not having unprotected sex, and they're not sharing a hypodermic needle with other druggies. So why are the children forced to take a hepatitis jab? And they know the jab doesn't stay in the body for very long, maybe 6 years tops. But that's one of the poisons they're putting in our children. It needs to stop. And Florida is taking action. Good for you, Dr. Ladapo. We need to get the fluoride out of the water. And we need to get the poison out of the bloodstream of our youth. We have untold cases of autism these days. Is it because of the jab? They won't research it. We have food allergies. Is it because of the jab? Again, they don't research it. If it was so good, why is Big Pharma immune from being sued for vaccine injury? Ronald Reagan asked a good question. If it's not safe, then why are we doing it? But they signed that bill into law, gave immunity to Big Pharma. Well, this was in the news, last month. A career criminal grabbed a little girl in the mall in Virginia and took off with her, kidnapped a 3-year-old girl, took off with her running through the mall. His name is Andres Caceres Caldín. He had just been released from jail by a George Soros DA. I'll give you more details on that jackwagon in a second. Released on his own recognizance, a career criminal, after he was charged with failing to stop at the scene of an accident resulting in felony injury. Fled the scene of a felonious injury. Now he's attempting to abduct a 3-year-old girl at Fair Oaks Shopping Center. She was near an indoor play area. He grabbed her and took off to the second level of the mall before one of the parents intervened. That's when he flew the coop. He took off. He has since been charged with abduction of a minor, grand larceny, auto theft as a result of an incident that occurred prior to the attempted abduction in which he allegedly stole a vehicle. He has multiple charges since 2015, which include assault and battery of a family member, malicious wounding and destruction of property. He assaulted his parents and his brother in 2024, but he wasn't prosecuted. Fairfax County Commonwealth Attorney Stephen Descano didn't prosecute this career criminal for assaulting his parents and his brother. He received tons of money from the PAC funded by George Soros. He received over $600,000. This is part of Soros's program to let career criminals roam free. How do you want to destroy the country? Let the criminals control everything. How is this man even in this country and not in prison? How did Joe Biden give him the Medal of Freedom? Well, here's another one from California. You know, I've said this before, Bed Bath & Beyond had to file bankruptcy. They were losing money hand over fist. One of my favorite stores to go to. I love to cook, and I could spend hours in their kitchen section looking at different products and how to utilize them to feed my beautiful bride, Leslie. But they are on the road to recovery. They are using bedbathandbeyond.com, so online business. They're revamping some of their stores. But he made an announcement on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. And he said that his company is going to no longer open stores in California because, quote, the state made it nearly impossible for business to succeed, close quote. Well, Newsom tried to be a smart aleck, posted a comment. New scum, I guess is what I should call him. Him and the other demon rats that control the entire political spectrum in California. If you live there, you know what I'm talking about. The entire legislature is controlled by the demon rats. There's a handful of Republicans, and they're trying to get rid of them, too. I'll tell you about that in a second. But Newsom continues to boast that California has the world's fourth largest economy. But he won't tell you that currently California has the highest unemployment rate. But Marcus isn't going to bring Bed Bath & Beyond to California because of the regulations, the minimum wage, all of the anti-business things that those idiots in Sacramento have enacted are detrimental to businesses. Why do you think Hewlett-Packard relocated out of California? Same thing for Tesla. A number of other businesses have taken their headquarters out of California because the taxation is ridiculous. They squash businesses. Cause and effect. Well, I want to get to this one here. YouTube, owned by Google, talked about this last week with Sandra, how they have been suggesting videos for you that, well, they continue the mind control programming that they want you to have. Come to find out, YouTube is doing a whole lot more than that. According to the BBC, they did a report, shows that YouTube has been employing artificial intelligence to make alterations to creators' videos without their knowledge or permission. These changes have left many content creators feeling unsettled and misrepresented. YouTube using artificial intelligence to doctor these videos. Two content creators, Rick Beto and Rhett Scholl, thought they were imagining things when they started to see strange artifacts in their videos. They started comparing notes and noticed that there were other AI-generated distortions in each other's videos. Well, YouTube confessed that it has been running an experiment on select YouTube Shorts. Experts argue there is a significant difference between users having control over AI features for their personal devices and a company manipulating content without the consent of the creators. And this raises concerns about the continuing use of artificial intelligence in mediating information and the media that we consume. YouTube, of course, those jackwagons would do something like that. Oh, my. I mentioned Newsom wanting to remove the maybe five Republicans that are representatives from the state of California. They want to get everybody blue, no more red. So they're going to have a constitutional amendment to redistrict. Doesn't matter that previously Californians voted to create an independent redistricting commission. Doesn't matter. Newsom is not going to allow that. But what shocked me was who gave $3 million to help with this push to change the Constitution of California to allow these criminals, and I'm going to say it, criminals, to redistrict and take the representation of those who are predominantly conservative completely out of the House of Representatives. The California Teachers Association, that's who gave $3 million to Newsom. They have totally shuttered the idea that they care about education and children. They haven't been focused on that in decades. Instead, they focus on radical Marxist overhaul of our entire country. But what does this have to do with the children? Absolutely nothing. But unions like the California Teachers Association, the SEIU, have a chokehold on California politics because of the millions that they've made a Democrat supermajority utterly beholden to them. That's why California has experienced such an epic decline in virtually every category in the education spectrum. Instead of spending this money to enrich the teachers that pay into this, to give them more resources to teach the children, not indoctrinate like they normally do, but real resources that could allow these children to learn, to be functioning adults in this society. Instead, what's $3 million of our union members' money? Let's get rid of any of the conservatives that represent sections of California. Make it blue. My. Came across this. It's an opinion piece in redstate.com, written by Eli Shepard. It's entitled, Pride Was Never Enough, The LGBT War on Biology and Children. And I'm going to read some of this. This is so spot on that I had to share this. Eli writes, not long ago, the conversation in America centered on equal rights for gays and lesbians. The rallying cry was simple, let people live and love without government intrusion. Even many conservatives began shrugging their shoulders with a kind of live and let live attitude. Then marriage was redefined. To some, it seemed like that would be the end of the story. I knew better. You probably knew better. But most had no clue. What began as an appeal for tolerance quickly morphed into a demand for celebration. Businesses, schools, sports leagues, and churches were told they must actively endorse this movement. Now, Corporations trip over themselves every June, Pride Month, to prove their loyalty to the Mo's. But, whoa, wait a minute. This rapid progression did not stop with gay marriage. New. The T in LGBT became the dominant letter. Activists went from arguing about same-sex couples to insisting that gender is a social construct, that men can get pregnant, and that biological males should be competing against women in sports. Media outlets repeat talking points without question. Social media platforms punish dissent. Politicians push bills that erase biological reality in favor of ideological fiction. The most disturbing escalation is the push to involve children. Activists now demand that children be given puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and even surgeries under the banner of gender-affirming care. These kids are not even old enough to buy alcohol or get a tattoo, but they're being fast-tracked into life-altering medical decisions that will leave them sterile, scarred, and often regretful. Any resistance to this is framed as bigotry. The rapid progression of this movement exposes its true aim, the redefinition of human nature itself. It is about power. It is about control. It is about remaking society in a way that severs us from biological truth and traditional values. But what's next? The demands will only grow bolder. Look at where we've come, from gay marriage to now this gender identity movement. It could be that parents will be criminalized if they object to this garbage. Consider this. Compromise only moves the goalpost. Every concession fuels the next radical demand. Truth is not hate. Biology is not bigotry. And children are not political experiments. Unless we dig in and defend reality itself, it will bury the foundations of our culture under its weight. I knew that this gay marriage thing that the Supreme Court legislated from the bench was going to snowball. I had no inkling that the tranny movement would be as profound as it is. Didn't even consider that part. At the time, the World Health Organization said that transsexualism was a mental illness. And I laughed and told friends that the people that love this gay marriage the most are divorce lawyers. Because you know gay people can't stay celibate with each other. But it is already happening. The courts are removing children from a home whose parents refuse to affirm that their son is a girl. Legislation is already enacted in some states. They want complete control and complete acquiescence to this gender idiocy. We have to stand up and fight. We cannot go quietly into this good night with this looming in the future. We have God's holy word to back us up. Put on the full armor of God's word. We need to get out there and fight back this idiocy. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.